pray this morning that the electricity will hold, because I don't think my voice will. There were two little boys, aged 8 and 10, who were extremely mischievous. And they were very well known in the community. And if anything went wrong, the first place people would look would be towards these two little boys. Eventually, their parents became so desperate, and they'd heard of a preacher in the community that had very good results in disciplining children. His name may even have been David, I'm not sure. This preacher had a huge booming voice, and the parents decided to take the children to see this preacher. So the mother was going to take the little 8-year-old in the morning and the 10-year-old in the afternoon. So she first took the little 8-year-old, and the preacher sat him down in front of him, and he looked over his glasses at the boy and said, "Boy, where is God?" And the little boy's jaw dropped, and he didn't answer. And he said it louder, "Boy, where is God?" And still no answer. This boy was absolutely flabbergasted. And then a third time, he boomed at him and said, "Boy, where is God?" And the little boy jumped up, took off, and ran home and shut himself in the closet. When his older brother got home, he found his brother in the closet. He said, "What happened?" He said, "It's bad. It's really, really bad. This time, I don't know what we're going to do, because God is gone and they think we did it." In 1968, some of us may remember, an Apollo 8 astronaut named Bill Anders took pictures of the Earth from his spacecraft, and it was widely publicized. And then looking back at the planet, Anders said this about it. He said, "It is the only color that we could see." And there's a reason for that. You see, our world, this little blue planet, has always been destined for life. Scientists have determined that we live in the Goldilocks region of the sun. Now, that's specifically for the Sunday school children that are here today. You see, we're not too far, not too close. We're just right. If we were a little bit closer, we'd have cooked to death. And a little bit further away, we'd have been a bit more frozen than what we are now. More than that, during the orbit of the Earth around the sun, if it deviated even a fraction of an inch, every 20 miles or so, within a year, we'd either freeze or fry. And that's how privileged we are. You see, our planet is tilted in a very Goldilocks sort of way towards the sun. And it rotates at a constant 23 degrees on the axis. And it's tilted in that particular way to support life. And if it wasn't tilted, the poles would be colder, the equator would be hotter, and the surface of the Earth would not be habitable. And then tonight, put on a coat, go out and take a look at the moon. It's a lifeless ball of dust up in the sky. It's the same distance as the Earth from the sun. But if you think you're cold this morning, be thankful you're not on the moon. It's very cold. Life cannot exist on the moon. And if it weren't for this lifeless moon, our oceans would be dead. We wouldn't have that magnetic attraction that the moon has on the earth, on the oceans. And if the moon was smaller and further away, our tides would be almost non-existent and life in the ocean would be impossible. Even the gases around the earth shows a designer. The atmosphere contains 21% oxygen. If it had 50% more or less, the slightest flash of lightning would ignite a forest. If we had 10% less oxygen, there wouldn't be enough for a fire. Even the water which freezes, anything else that freezes becomes heavier, except water. It rises to the top when it's frozen, and if it didn't, all life in ponds and rivers would become extinct. Now, those are just a few wonderful things about this planet that we live on. It's a wonderful world that we live on. It's just right in a very Goldilocks sort of way. And yet, many people want to know, where is God? Where is God? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then if you have a look in verse 27, it says, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Very clearly in this passage, we see that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He created this planet from nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was a voidness. There was a nothingness, and from this nothingness, God created everything in the universe. And then in verse 2, we see that the world was formless and void. Now, this original idea about being formless and void means that there was chaos, there was confusion, it was a hot mess. Just like some of us. Chaos, confusion, and a hot mess. But God created this earth to be habited. And for a brief time, before he created everything that we see around us, the plants and the animals and you and I, the earth was formless and void. It was in chaos. And our God is not a God of chaos. He is not a God of confusion. He is not a God that would leave something in such a state. And that is what we're going to have a look at this morning. The chaos that we find around us. And we sometimes wonder, where is God? Yet right in the very beginning, we see that God had a look at this formless void, this emptiness, this chaos, this confusion. And he didn't leave it like that. Our God is not a God of confusion. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you thought of him? And the son of man that you take care of him? In Romans 1 verse 20 it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, have been understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And people say, where is God? Psalm 19:1, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the work of his hands. God was in the beginning. He was before the beginning. He was before the creation of the world. He was, he is, and he always will be. Very much long after we gone, he still will be. He is eternal. Life begins and ends with him. He comes first, not us. And if we had to take a moment this morning to evaluate ourselves, to truly have a look at ourselves and evaluate our worth, and then when we've done that, take God out of that equation and have a look at what you have left. Nothing. We'll come up with nothing. We would be left with something that is void, that is empty, that is formless, and without light. Without God in our equation, without God in our lives, we are nothing but a formless, confused mess. Yet it's sometimes we've all been guilty of getting up on our high horse, hearing that we are self-made, self-educated, self-sufficient, and self-reliant. Who needs God? We are made in his image. We are made at his discretion. And we are consecrated for his purpose. And we are saved by his grace. God took absolutely nothing, and he created a masterpiece. God took chaos, and he brought order. He took darkness, and he filled it with light. He cradled the earth in its emptiness, in its voidness, in his loving hands, and he caressed it and took away the chaos. He bent down and he took some dirt and he molded it lovingly. He took that clay and he formed it and fashioned it with lovingly looking upon it. And then he knelt down and then he kissed that clay. And he breathed his life into it. And he caressed it and held it to himself. God specializes in creating something from nothing. He specializes in great outcomes from nothing. From nothing beginning. He takes that which someone else might look on and say, well, that's nothing, that's useless, that's just a confused mess. And he takes that something, that nothingness, and he begins to mold it and form it and breathe his spirit of life into it to make it something. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. When you were in the womb, he knew you. When you were in the womb, your parents might not have wanted you there, but he knew you. He formed you. He wanted you. He created you. He brought you here. And when we were lost in sin, He still loved us. He sees something in us. Even in that moment when we are dwelling in our nothingness, when we are in our miry clay, when we are in chaos, in confusion, in depression, in our nothingness. And the scripture says the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the deep. And in this chaos, it goes on to say, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What an incredible gift. When we need God most, when we think He's afar off, when we're wondering where He is, in our nothingness, in our confusion, He's there, hovering, waiting, right there, hovering. His Spirit is near. And when we call out to Him, He says, I'm here. I'm right here. I've been waiting for you to call. And when we look at our lives, and if it seems that everywhere that we look, there is darkness, there's nothing, there's just confusion, He turns to that and He brings light. When we are on the very edge, when we think there's nothing but darkness, right there in that moment, we will find God. He's always there. He's always watching, wanting to create a great outcome from a nothing beginning. And if you're willing to let Him, that's exactly what He will do. The Bible tells us that anyone who comes to Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But before God stepped in, there was nothing but chaos. And He brought peace beyond our understanding. We look at Paul's life and we see an example of how God took a nothing and He made something. If we have a look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 15 and 16, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on Him and return and receive eternal life. This man, Saul, that went about killing God's people, he thought nothing of killing God's created. And one day on a road, he met this God. And God said, Saul, I can take this nothing that you've turned yourself into, and I can take that nothing, and I can make something of it. Just give yourself to me. Just make yourself available to me, and I will take your nothing, and I can do something with your nothing. Just give it into my hands. God is the same as He was yesterday. He is the same today. And if He could do it for Paul, He can do it for me, and He can do it for you. God is still in the business of creating great outcomes from nothing beginnings. But many are still going through darkness, are still in a void in their spirits, still have emptiness in their souls, and are still struggling. You see, God can't make something with your something. He needs you to come with nothing. And sometimes our something is in the way. That's something that we hold on to for dear life. That's something that we will not let go of. That's something that might be anger or bitterness or guilt or shame. And we hold on to it. And God wants to come in and he wants to do something with you. But you've already got something. But he creates from nothing. He needs you to let go of that something. He needs you to let go of that bitterness. He needs you to let go of that anger. He needs you to let go of that bitterness, of that guilt, of that shame, so that you can come with your nothingness, so that he can take that nothingness and he can say, "Yeah, my child, let me fill you with a something that I can use." Revelation 3:17 says, "You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked?" In Galatians 6:3 it says, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Stop holding on to your something, whatever that something might be. You know what the something is. God knows what the something is. Let go of the something and come to God so he can make something new. We need to recognize that our origin is in God. It's not by our will, our power, or our might that we journey through this world. We have to be rooted in God. He is our source of power. He is the originator of our joy, the center of our peace, and the redeemer of our souls. But we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to take off our religious masks. And we need to discard our self-righteousness. And we need to come before God in nothingness, bearing all of us our doubts, bearing all of our deficiencies and our inadequacies. Because nothing means relinquishing everything before God. It means that we have to come to the understanding that although we believe that we have it all together, and we believe that we have the solutions to our problems, true power belongs to God. And when you surrender your nothingness to God, he looks down from heaven at your nothingness and he says, "Now I can create. Now I can work. I have nothing because I work with nothing to create a something." And then this God that has dominion over the heavens and the earth commands, "Do not touch my anointed." And then you become one of his touch-me-nots. And when the storm rises up against you, he says to the storm, "Do not touch, that's mine." When you feel that the life is going to carry you away, he says, "Do not touch, that is mine." And we discover that we have a hope, we have a promise, and we have a future. And we discover to our amazement that God has been there all the time. In him we trust is going to do great things in our lives. But in order for him to do great things, we need to bring that something. And as I ask you to stand with me this morning, those of you this morning that are in this place that have something that is leaving you in a confused, chaotic mess, bring that something to God and lay it down till there is nothing so that he can begin to work in your life this morning. Will you do that with me this morning? Please stand. And if there's anybody in this place this morning, as I pray, come forward and bring your something so God can do a great work. Father God, we praise your holy name. We praise you, Lord God, for there is none like you. Each one of us recognizes, Lord, that there is sin in our lives. Each one of us recognizes, Lord, without you, we are nothing. But with you, Lord, we are something. You make great things out of nothingness. And Lord God, this morning we surrender to you in our nothingness. We give it all to you this morning, Lord. As your people come before you, those that have